Good evening, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Good evening, everyone. We got...
Good evening, Alana.
Okay. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We're going to open up with some prayer, and then we're going to get started. This evening, Heavenly Father, how we come loving and adoring your holy name. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word. How we thank you for our teacher. I pray a special blessing on her.
Are you ladies together?
In the name of Jesus. Lord, keep her as we move forward.
Okay.
Of my heart. Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Was Sharon talking with them, I think, Wendell? With Velma?
I'm sorry?
Was Sharon talking with Velma or with Sister Gay? I thought she was.
She was talking to Miss Sadie.
I'm trying to get Miss Sadie and Ruby Williams. Oh,
okay, are they on yet, Sharon?
Yes, Ruby's on. Miss Sadie doesn't feel well. So I've got them on.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and put you on speaker, okay, baby?
Okay, then we're going to get ready to move on. We had left off with Jesus telling the rich man what he had to do to be saved. And at this point, it was a matter of he wasn't ready to give up all of his riches just to be saved. But there's a special notation I want us to take note of, and it'll show even more so as we read on. The disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years, and yet they really had no idea of who Jesus really was. And right now, Jesus is in a hurry, so he's teaching as plain as he can. He's telling them as much as he can because his time is short. And yet, as much and as many times that it had been mentioned, it still went over the disciples' heads. They really had no idea exactly what Jesus was trying to tell them. Like, you know, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to have to leave you, but in 3 days, I'm going to raise up again. But it still had not hit them. To me, the reality to the disciples of who Jesus really was at the crucifixion and after the resurrection is when it really, really hit them who he really was and who they had really been walking with for all these years. 3 years they had walked with Jesus, and all along the way, he was telling them who he was. He was showing them who he was, and he'd always put God first. Father, thank you for hearing me. Or Father, let this be done. Let your will be done. He was always putting God first to let him know that really is my daddy. I mean, you know, I'm his son. That's my daddy. But I'm here in human form, but yet I am still a God too. You know, it's the three. None of this really ever hit them good. Who he really was. And it is shown even more so as we read on. Before we get started, I need somebody to get Isaiah, Kathy, if you'd get Isaiah chapter 53 and read verses, when I get ready, it'll be verses 3, 4, and 5. Sharon, if you would get Isaiah 53 and 7, 8, and 9. Hold those scriptures for me until. Kathy P., I was talking to you. Did you get that?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, you got it? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Marcia, did we leave off? Is it you in verse 28? Are we down to 28, people? I think is where we left off at. Am I right? Oh,
okay, yes. Alana, if you can get another reader, I've got a call from Sister Gay right now.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, Marcia.
She's got a call from Sister Gay. Take that call.
Verse 28, but I got to step away. I got a call coming in from Sister Gay.
Oh, okay. Okay. If someone would start reading verse 28 for me, please.
Miss Lana, I'll read it. This is Patricia.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Then Peter said, "See, we have left all and followed you."
Okay. I'm sorry. Stop right there. You know, I'll cut y'all off when it hits me. I got to tell it while it's still on my mind. Notice what Peter said. This is after Jesus is trying to explain to them, you know, the things that are possible with men
I'm trying to answer this call. Hello?
Is somebody mute? I need some
man, Marcia. I can't hear you because I don't know what I'm doing. Can you hear me?
Oh, Marcia, is that Sister Gay? Can you have her mute?
Marcia, don't let me lose this woman on this phone. I'm trying to answer it. And I ain't knowing what to do.
Come on.
Okay. Okay. As what Peter just said, see, we have left all and followed you, and now you saying only, you know, this is what you have to do to be saved. So it's like he's thinking, so what you're saying is like, we're not saved after all what we didn't did. Again, from where they're not even understanding what Jesus is trying to say right here. So again, it has not clicked with them. All the teachings that he's given, everything they have seen him do, it still ain't here. Listen to what Peter said. It even gets worse. It even gets worse after Peter even says this. Okay, would you read on for me, please, Patty?
Mm-hmm. So he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, there was no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life.
Okay, stop right there, Pat. Okay, he's trying to tell him, after all what you did, leaving your parents, leaving your children, leaving your wife, it's still all going to be worth it. It was still worth what you did because, look, you're going to have not more things just here, but eternal life. You have eternal life. You are saved. You have eternal life. And yet you're still going to have abundant blessings even now. So for Peter to have said that again, notice, oh, ye of little faith, I call him, because it still ain't hit him yet. Who this is? Who Jesus really is. Okay, Pat, you can continue.
I think 31 is Catherine.
Oh, is that Catherine? We're ready. Okay, mm-hmm. Catherine, we're ready. Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
31? Where's Catherine? Is she there? Yeah, there mm-hmm. she is. She's muted. Catherine, are you 31?
Okay, help me out here. I'm on Isaiah 53. I'm sorry.
Oh, hold it there. I don't need it yet, but hold it there. Pat,
that's fine.
For me.
I can go ahead to 31 to 34 for you.
Okay, please do.
Okay. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken.
Okay, stop right there. There it is right there. As much as Jesus had been saying and teaching and telling them, trying to get them prepared, zoop, and it all went over their head. They had no idea what Jesus was talking about. He's telling them, I'm getting ready to go die. I'm going to Jerusalem where I'm going to be crucified and spat on. And they looking at him. Okay, let's notice this. Back in 31. He took them aside to talk to them privately because it's like he already know, okay, they're not getting what's going on. I'm going to have to try and break it all the way down to them. And even in doing that, you see what the scriptures say it was like. They still had no idea. So can you imagine the looks on their faces as Jesus is explaining all this? And it had to, again, trouble his spirit. Quite a bit. He's troubled. It's like, y'all still ain't getting what I'm saying, but let me try and break it down to you. What's really getting ready to happen? We're going to go up to Jerusalem now. He's trying to break it totally down to the disciples as to what is getting ready to happen. The events that are getting ready to happen. Okay, and as he said, as the prophets had told, it's coming to pass. I need to Isaiah 53:3-5. We read that one for me, please. Kathy, is that you?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Isaiah 53:3-5. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Three, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Four, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
Okay, right there, Isaiah, we're in the Old Testament. He's telling of what's to come. What Jesus is telling them here in verse 31, this is what Isaiah is talking about in chapter 53 in Isaiah, Old Testament. Sharon, would you pick up for me 7, 8, and 9?
Yes, okay. Isaiah 53:7, 8, and 9.
Yes.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth.
Okay, thank you, Sharon, and thank you, Kathy. This, all of what Isaiah is saying, is what Jesus is trying to tell them in 31. And when he says how he opened not his mouth, as much as they did with him, okay, let's go back. Let's go back when they first picked him up, and Judas gave him the kiss. This is when it all began. And Jesus told him, do what you got to do. It's like he was ready. Remember, he had already been in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had already prayed, got it straight with his dad. Okay, Father, you know, if it be your will, really, I know what's coming, and I really would rather not go through this, but not my will. You know, let this bitter cup pass from me, Lord. Come on now, Dad, I don't want to do this, but not my will, but your will be done. So by the time Judas came, he was ready, and he already knew what awaited him. So he told Judas, do what you got to do. Let's get this going. Get it on. And so Judas gave him the kiss, and that's when it all began. Now, notice this. It had to be close to midnight when they came to pick Jesus up. Once they got him all the way in, of course, they begin to beat him. They begin to kick him. They begin to scourge him. He tells us in 31 what's going to happen and what they're doing. There was a scripture that Sister Velma had quoted once, and it came out of the New Testament. I wish I could have found it, but I couldn't. But it was saying how they begin to even pluck the beard off of his chin. I mean, just take it and pluck it off. So we already know Jesus had to have a bloody face just from that, let alone from the beatings, the swelling of his face, because they were punching him and beating him with their fists. Let alone when they did get out the whip and begin to beat him with the canines, with the pointed balls on the end of that belt or the whip that they were beating. So each time, of course, that would go into its flesh and pull it out after each beat. So Jesus's body had to be in a horrific, absolute bloody mess, but yet he opened not his mouth. About the best he did was when Pilate kept saying, well, now, did you do all this? They say you did so-and-so, you did that. Did you do it? Are you the king of the Jews? If they say it. And that was it. It wasn't a matter of hollering at the time of the... He opened not his mouth, y'all. As horrific as the time had become for him. and all of this just for us? Don't think he had to do this. He could have told his dad, okay, send him on down to get me. The angel was waiting. Okay, we got to come get him. Okay, all what been said. Okay, he's got to go because he's calling on us to come and get him. But he didn't. He didn't have him stop. He went all the way just for us. For us. And he already knew we were coming. He already knew the sins that we were going to commit. But yet he opened not his mouth. All because of us. And here the disciples still had no idea of who he really was. Okay, let me not get too far off because I could go in on that when we think about that. But okay, let me try and stick with our lesson here. But boy, when you think about that, okay, let me, Jesus. Okay, let's read on. Somebody pick us up there. We are 35. Any questions or comments? I'm sorry. Any questions or comments before we move on?
You know, I was thinking that it's so much like us. We read and we study and we pray, and he wants to give us so much more. And we still don't know. We're still, you know, we want to know him. And so, my goodness, yes.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else?
It's like we're learning every day. I mean, more. And I'm so glad I'm living old so that I can know him more.
Yeah.
Time isn't enough in the day to know him.
Oh, I tell you. And it's like the older we get, the more we know him. I mean, and he know us and we know him. We used to hear about that. My mother and them were always talking about, oh, Jesus can handle it. He gonna come through. Well, I'm looking at like, well, Mom, they just cut off our lights. And I can open up the refrigerator. Ain't nothing in there. But Jesus was gonna take care of this. And he would. And he did. But I didn't understand it right then. You know, I'm too young. I'm hungry. And I need to study. I need some light. But all I would always see, Jesus, go handle this. Oh, I didn't tell the Lord what we need. And sure enough, he would come through every time. Amen. But as I lived and got older, oh, I understood what she meant then. I understood what they used to talk about and what they used to pray about. Oh, just keep living. Yeah. As my mother would say, just keep living. Okay. I'm sorry. Any other questions or comments before we move on? Anyone? No? All right. Well, then let us move on. We're at 35. Oh, who left off reading?
Sister Johnson is going to read 35 through 42.
Okay. We're ready, Sister Johnson. I might interrupt you. I'm sorry. I just did that. But I might just stop you or interrupt you if something hits me. So
okay,
don't be offended if I do. Don't be offended if I do. Okay, I'm ready.
Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Okay, stop right there, Sister Johnson. He already knew who this was. As soon as they told him, but they told him, oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Notice how he responded and what he called him. He said, oh, Son of David, have mercy on me. All they told him was, it's Jesus of Nazareth. So he knew. As soon as they said that, he knew. And he was on a mission. It's like, hey, Jesus, oh, I need you for a minute. Even though I know, you know, you're on your way to Calvary. On your way, but I need you for a minute, Jesus. I need to see you. Disciples, they like, okay, let me not get ahead of myself. But anyway, I'm just trying to say, he was stopping Jesus as Jesus is on his way to Calvary, heading into town, going into Jerusalem, where it's all going to start, hitting the garden. Anyway, okay, but Jesus, let's look what he does. Let me not get ahead of myself. Sister Johnson, read on, please.
Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Okay, so stop right there. Again, he's calling him Son of David. He never did say Jesus of Nazareth. But he never did stop either. The disciples was trying to tell him, look here, man, back off. He ain't got time for you. You know, we can't stop and heal you right now. He ain't got time. That didn't faze him. Bartimaeus, this is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is still hollering, hey, Jesus, our son of David. It's like, yeah, you got to stop. Hold up. I need you. But the disciples, again, it's like we ain't got time. Even though they're not really understanding where they really on their way to and what's really going on, but they know they, you know, in a hurry. Jesus in a hurry. He already told them, we got to go to Jerusalem. So that's all they're really seeing right now. We got to get to Jerusalem. So no, he really ain't got time not to stop and heal nobody, okay? He ain't got time. Okay, Sister Johnson, read on, please, ma'am.
So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you?
Stop right there. Notice what he did. He stopped and he stood still. He didn't keep walking. He didn't keep walking and say, bring him to me. You know, hurry, bring him up here to me. He stood still. He totally stopped. I mean, what, Jesus? I mean, we already know what's on your mind. It's like, okay, you didn't already told them, you know, you're going to be scorned, you're going to be mocked, you're going to be beaten, and yet you going to take time to see what this man wants? You going to ask him, what do you want of me? Don't think Jesus didn't already know, but for the sake of those around, especially the disciples, he stopped. Had everybody hold up, stop, bring him up here, bring him to me. And Jesus specifically asked him, what do you want of me? What do you want of me? So they could hear for themselves and see what Jesus was going to do in the midst of on his way to Calvary. Okay? Really? Yes, really. Any questions or comments before we move on? Anybody? Okay, what is happening?
This is Marcia. It's just interesting how the disciples wanted to push him away, just like children. Those mm-hmm. that we think are not important or deserve Jesus' time, Jesus is telling us, yes, they are important to me just as you are.
Very true, Miss Marcia. Very true.
I think, too, that is so beautiful that the Lord says, what do you want me to do for you? That he wants to hear from us specifically. What do you want? Even though he knows he can give. But I love that he just loves to hear from us.
Yes, that's a good point. He does, because he already knew what Bartimaeus wanted. He already knew that. He knew he was a blind man. But, of course, he heard him as well, calling and crying out to him. He heard him, but he didn't stop right then. It wasn't quite time yet. It was like, disciples, y'all keep on doing what you're doing, because you got to see how you got to take the time out to hear what the people really are asking on me, because y'all going to have to be doing this after I'm gone. So let me show you how we got to do this.
That's
in
true.
In the midst of whatever you're doing, somebody's calling or asking for prayer. And a lot of times we ain't got time. Some people need, when they said, I need you to pray for me, some need it right then on the spot. Don't always give that girl, I'm going to be praying for you, and I totally forget. Sometimes you got to stop and pray right there on the spot. We supposed to be not ashamed of the word of the gospel of the truth. Yeah, that's our job. So Jesus is showing us as well as disciples. Yeah, you take the time out in the midst of whatever. And sometimes we look at it like we're in such a bad situation. Things are so bad for me. I just can't see my way through. But there's always someone worse off than you. Always someone worse off than you that needs your prayers. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how can I pray for them? And the shape that I'm in and what I'm going through. Oh, yeah, Jesus is showing right here. I'm on my way to die. But yet, and took the time out and even asked him, what do you want of me? What do you want of me? On his way to Calvary.
Wow.
Any other questions or comments? I'm sorry, y'all. Anybody?
That's good. That's good.
Sister Lana, this is Sister Gay.
Yes, ma'am.
I am just tuning in a separate location, but I am joined class. And I'm showing up as Sister Sanders and two or three of names. Sister Sanders' name is showing up, but she's not in the class.
Okay.
So I'm just glad to be here and you're going on. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Gay, for even being in the class with us.
Thank you.
All right, y'all, let's continue on.
He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sister Johnson. Stop right there. Look what Jesus said. After he said, what do you want of me? He said, Lord, so I can receive my sight. I need to see, Lord, what do you have of me? Lord, I may receive my sight. That's what I need. And all Jesus did was say, receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole. Okay, your faith has made you well. You can see. Just like that. Okay, I'm in a hurry. I'm in the midst of something here. What do you want? Oh, okay, okay. Bless you. You have sight now. Let me put my hands on you. Got sight. You well. You good. Okay. No. He said, just as simple, just as calm. And he says,
you're afraid.
Leave your sight. Your faith has made you whole. Okay. So you can go. You heal. But once you heal, you can go. And okay, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but okay. I just want you to know how cool and calm and collected Jesus was with this. What? You on your way to Calvary. You on your way to die. And you go, okay, what do you want me to do? Just tell me. Okay, receive your sight. You heal. Okay. Yo, what is that saying to us? I mean, this is really powerful, what is being said and what is being done. Because of it's in the midst of, I mean, this is like, urgency should be on this. I mean, because okay, Lord, you in a hurry because you got to get to Jerusalem because you're getting ready to die. But yet again, like I said, this is just showing us as well as disciples how you take out that time to do what Jesus put us here to do. It ain't always about us. It's not always about us. There's others that are in need of us. If it's nothing but prayer, or if it ain't nothing but just to give them a hug and let them know, I love you. That's all it takes. Sometimes, even in the midst of whatever we're going through, sometimes we got Jesus is showing right here. Oh yeah, you got to take the time. If he can do it in the midst of what he was on his way to do, oh, I know we can.
Amen.
That's our job.
Sister Lana, I just want to say to that point how powerful that was. Yes. And for us to really take a look at ourselves and not be selfish, but be selfless.
Very good. Oh, very good. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Putting other people's need before our own is something that is not exercised a lot because we are so into ourselves and wanting our immediate gratification that we don't put others ahead of our own. If we put others ahead of our own, God will take care of us.
He will.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he will.
Oh, yeah.
He should.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'd also like to just chime in with Sister Murphy. You know, I believe that on the way to church, there's ministry.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if you guys have been down Nicholas. It's about the 1200 block, but there's like a stretch of half a block where homeless people have tents and mattresses and a big old, you know, armchair. They're living out there. And I don't know, I just recently saw that this week and I was practically in tears. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I would talk to my family. I said, you know, we got to do something. Mm-hmm. Whatever that little thing we can do to try to help. And certainly we see people coming off the freeway and, you know, they're asking for help. And Some, it's real obvious they need some help.
Mm-hmm.
Some out there and they don't have legs. They're in a wheelchair or they're, you know, what have you. And, you know, you can't help everybody.
Right.
I love how you're emphasizing Jesus. And who are we? We are his hands and feet in modern times. And I also recently got a text from two young women that were in my youth program. They were talking pre-suicidal. You know how you just get like, and I'm like, okay, I got to stop now. I got to encourage them. I got to send them a word, you know. And unless we're in touch with the Holy Spirit, as you said, not caught up in your own, whatever you got to do. Because when, you know, when we see Jesus, he's not going to be impressed with what job we held and, you know, what we were wearing, you know, the stuff we are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to look at, well, who'd you help get to know me? Who'd you introduce me to? Who did you help that was sick and blind and naked? Thank you, sis. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you very much. That was very pertinent information. It really was. It reminds me of, now the Lord put it on me, it's not on everyone, but I always keep dollars on the side of my purse. So whenever I get to that stop sign or at the end of the intersection or wherever, and they're there, it's just on me to give what I have. My dollars go specifically for them. But like I said, it's not for everybody, but that's what the Lord put on my heart. And it was so ironic as I was teaching this. You know, it's one thing to teach and talk this stuff, and it's another to really live this. So I think we were having a big picnic. We were having a family picnic, and we were bringing ribs, and my daughter was home from New York, and we had just come from the picnic, and we had leftovers, and I thought, ooh, we'll have enough leftovers, and we'll have to cook too much while she's here. So she has a heart of gold, loves the Lord, and this particular time, though, I'm looking at it like I don't have to cook the rest of the week. We got plenty of food, ribs, chicken, all of that. So we coming off the freeway, and sure enough, there's like a couple with their little girl on the corner with their sign, and they're trying to sit on blankets or whatever. It was like in the fall. And so Kiana rolls her window down, and I hear her rattling through the foil, and she was getting these ribs. And I was like, Kiana, honey, what are you doing? Oh, Mom, they're hungry. Look at the little girl. I couldn't say nothing because I sure wanted to say, hold up. And then she said, well, Dad, I got some of your tracks back here. Can I give them out? Rudy was, oh, yes, honey. Give them the word. And the little girl came over with her dad as Kiana was handing my ribs out the window. And I was like, Lord, help me, Jesus. But that was what was on her to do. And I had to come out of self and realize, okay, Lord, I'm going to have to cook the rest of the week, Jesus. But a lot of times it's what the Lord puts on your heart. Again, it's not for everybody, but there's something the Lord has put on your heart to do. And in the midst of trying to get home with my ribs, we stopped and had to give to the poor in the midst of, just like Jesus in the midst of, on his way to Calvary. So yeah, it ain't always about us. It's not all about us. It's about what the Lord has put on us to do for others. Let's not forget that, because just a prayer, just a kind word can mean so much to some. Can mean so much. Mm-hmm. Okay. Lord, this is a good lesson, y'all. This is a real good lesson. Okay, Sister Lana,
I just want you to comment, if you could, on, you know, Jesus gave him his sight, but he said that it was his faith that saved him.
Yes.
And here he's crying out, have mercy on me, crying out, son of David. But this importance of having faith. Talk about that, having faith, because that happened with the woman with the issue of blood. The Lord said, daughter, your faith has healed you. So help us unfold that a little bit, that faith piece.
Oh, okay, Sister Kathy, notice how she said that. Can you help us? Well, you just did. But faith, I mean, if we have the faith of a mustard seed, the one that always gets me is the centurion. When the centurion made his way to Jesus, he wanted him to heal his daughter. If you would come with me to my house. And Jesus told the centurion, because of your faith, your daughter is healed. All because he had the faith of a mustard seed. And yes, the woman with the issue of blood. Okay, can you imagine her with her bloody body trying to get through a crowd on her hands and knees, and all she wants to do is just a touch of the hem of his garment. She didn't want him to stop and lay hands on her, or she didn't want to run into his arms or him to stretch out and touch her. All she wanted to do was touch the hem of his garment because she had that much faith that if I could just touch, I will be made whole. And she was. And Jesus, again, he took the time in the midst of this crowd. And he's like, wait, hold up, y'all. Somebody didn't touch me. Well, here come the disciples again, Lord. Come on now. With all these people, a lot of people didn't touch you. What do you mean somebody touched you? But Jesus said, somebody touched me. And it was her. And when she stood up, because of her faith, she was made whole. But Jesus felt that healing go out. But oh ye, us of little faith sometimes. And all we need is the faith of a mustard seed. Believe he gonna do it. Claim the fact that he gonna do it. And he will. But we got to have the faith to believe and know that he will. Know it for ourselves. Yes, ma'am.
If I can add, it goes back to verse 27 where Jesus replied, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Yes. Faith is about who your faith is in. That is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit lives in us, you don't got to call pastor, deacon, trustee, big mama. You can lay hands on yourself in the name of Jesus.
Yep.
And claim God's healing, and it got nothing to do with power you got. Mm-mm. It's because we are, because of Jesus' sacrifice, he died in our place. He sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, and that's why we can lay hands on ourselves and others, speak the word in prayer with a little bit of faith. That mustard seed is the biggest plant, the biggest tree with big leaves, but just a little seed. Oh, the Lord was just reminding me that each of us is God's people. We're seeds in this earth. He sent us to grow and to make a difference in this world, one person at a time.
Sister Lana and class, I want to make a short point. There's so many good comments and things tonight. But and before you go on farther, I better get in here because what one of my comments is related to Sister Barbara Ingram's class she made when she was asked if we, some of you had gone by a certain location in the city and saw those homeless people, et cetera. And I didn't want you to the class to go on too much longer before I got this coming in. So many other good comments you all have and we're having tonight. And I'm going to try to check off some of my names. I'm at a different location and things are moving so fast here. Back to Sister Ingram and the class discussion about the homeless people and the people that need so much help on the street. I hope I'm not echoing too much. Now, I'm saying this because years ago, it helped lead up to Salem's Food Pantry. And since we got so many people in attendance tonight, there's probably some witnesses to what I'm going to say. I think it was back in probably about the last of the 1960s or the early of the 1970s. And we were meeting downtown, the Omaha Public School teachers and things would meet for some kind of conventions or whatever at the beginning of the school year. I'm new to Omaha, Nebraska, but on my way from there, I had to come on down to Cummins Street, and I'm not sure which side street it was. And I saw so many people in line waiting for food. And at that particular time, I was the BTU directory for Salem. And at the next Sunday, I asked, and I said, I can cook beans, we need to do something. Deacon Pondexter was living at that time. Sister Pauline Smith was living at that time. Reverend J.C. Wade was our pastor at that time. And I'm saying that because some of you might have been present at that particular meeting. And it's so related to what Sister Barbara was saying, all of these different things. And I just wanted to share it because when I mentioned about those people and how moved I was because I had never seen, you know, people in need for food. And I said, we can do something. And some of you know Sister Pauline Smith and the late Reverend Wade. Mm-hmm. And so Reverend Wade, he asked Sister Smith, what did she say? So, you know, the first thing and another led to another. Sister Pauline Smith, in the following weeks, she would sometimes come to me and say, Miss Gay, I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do something. And the only reason I want to say that, because you see where it led to. That mm-hmm. might not have been the first seed that was planted, but it had something to do with the Salem Baptist Church food pantry that ministered people throughout the world. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to go back to where we are again on a different little part of tonight's lesson. Luke 18, verse 27. That was the last verse I think we really discussed last week about things that are impossible with man are possible with God. And that is so true and been standing on it. And Sister Lana is doing such a great job tonight like she always can. So she got very short notice that she was going to be over the class tonight because in the position, I don't really have a position. I'm just a sister like many of you. We're sisters and brothers in Christ. And I could see personally, possibly we're going to need to call on Sister Lana tonight. But I was in a position that I don't want to step in between God, what he's going to do, and the teacher. But as soon as I get, because the teacher, you know, wants class to go on, want to teach, and Sister Marcia is with us and supporting, and we'd have let Sister Lana know 5 days ago. But that would have been saying, I'm moving in between. So everything's done in order. Soon as I could get the word out of the mouth of Sister Sanders, then I can move to Sister Marcia for the night's class. And Sister Lana, she's ready. But all of this is still related to God because there's nothing impossible with God. And now I'm going to be trying to remove my name that's in 15 different places. So when you see somebody leaving the class, they're not leaving the class. I'm just getting some of my names off. And one of the names I want to get off is Sister Sanders, who is in support of everything. As all of you know, she wants class to go on. But I don't want anybody to be fooled to think she's in class now because I saw her name. And so please, let's continue on. But I thought the points that I'm saying, some of you might have been present back there in those days. I remember those things. Thank you for being patient with me.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, Sister Gay. Thank you. Now to pick up where we left. Oh, I know. Okay, we're in part B, where weren't we in 30? 43.
Well, okay. Excuse me, Sister Lana.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Sharon. I just wanted to kind of piggyback off of what Sister Gay was saying. Okay. And as it took us into the section we were going to study deeper today, verses 28 through 30, and there was a subtopic in my Bible, and it references reward for sacrifice. And I think you guys have kind of mentioned that is how you've seen people in need and you've responded quickly. And I just want to encourage those that do, because God says in verse 30 that the reward, you will receive it at this present time, as well as in the age yet to come. And I want to make certain that we understand it. So whatever it is that you do, Lana, as you were giving the ribs away, Sister Barbara, as you were praying and encouraging our young people, he said, who shall not receive many times more in this present time? So even when you do something, no, you're standing on the word of God. You do it. His promise is you're going to get it. Reward for your sacrifice, whatever you gave up to the poor, dropping off something down there at the shelter, or encouraging young people going through trying times, and in the age to come, eternal life. So there's a double portion of reward. You're going to get it now, and you're going to get it later. Keep giving. There is a reward for the sacrifice.
All right. Thank you, Sister Sharon. Absolutely. And I like the way Jesus is making that plain. You wouldn't think he'd have to make it that plain to the disciples, but he did, which rolls off on to us as well. They were with him. They had been with him for 3 years, and yet he's making it so plain to them, but it's the example and speaking to us as well. Thank you, Sister Sharon, for bringing that out. Any other comments or questions before we move on? Anyone?
This is Marcia, just piggybacking off Sister Piper about the faith of this Bartimaeus brought about two results for him, which was his physical and spiritual healing. So he got a double bonus.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he
because of his faith.
What I like about Bartimaeus is he never gave up. even with the disciples kind of pushing him back and trying to hush him up and shut him down, he just got louder. He got louder. Couldn't see nothing. He couldn't see nothing, but he knew who it was. Once they told him it was Jesus of Nazareth, that's all he needed to know. That's all he needed to know. Okay, that's the Son of David. Hey, you're the one that's been healing the sick and raising the dead. I believe in you. I need a healing. He never gave up. He never stopped calling. Son of David. Listen, I need you, Son of David. Disciples, in other words, get out of my way. I don't care right now. I need Jesus. And sometimes that's how we need to be, in a hurry to get to Jesus, because we can make a mess of stuff. But Jesus, if we just turn, I mean, you know, we always say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Lord, you take this. I can't do nothing. And just as sure as you said, we take it right back. And we're going to try and fix it. But if we give it to him, really give it to him and leave it there, oh, he can fix it. He can fix it and will. Look at what he's saying here. You're going to get blessed even now. Whatever you do, I'm going to bless you now abundantly. And then in the end, you're going to inherit eternal life. Okay, there I go. Okay. Anybody else? Any other questions or comments? Before we got to move on, so I sure want to get to verse 46.
Sister Lana, I just want to underscore that, you know, that verse 30, he's blessing us in life now and eternal.
Mm-hmm. And other,
I don't know, Christians, sometimes we focus on heaven. And mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to heaven. But my goodness, how he has blessed me already.
uh-huh.
in this life and knowing the difference between, and I like what Sister Marcia was saying, the spiritual blessing and the physical, because, mm-hmm. you know, the things that God is doing, the way he's healing us and keeping us safe and providing for his people, it's miraculous.
Yes.
It's miraculous.
It definitely is. And I'm glad you brought that out. And to me, that's why it's so important to always hear a praise report or hear someone's testimony, because their testimony is what can strengthen someone else. You're thinking you might be the only one going through it. But if somebody gives their testimony, telling the same thing, but how they came through it, and you might be in the middle or in the midst of yours, but they're telling you how they held on and they made it through. Oh, ye of little faith, you can come through. You can do it. You can make it. Oh, yeah, you can't. He, like we said, he's blessing us abundantly. Everybody don't know what the Lord did for you unless you tell it. And he's blessing us every day. Just the fact of waking up, that's a blessing. And sitting here breathing in and out, that's a blessing. You got food, you got water, you got a roof over your head, that's a blessing. Look at the homeless we just talked about. Yo, we blessed. And sometimes we don't realize it until we have to go without. But, okay, let's, this is a good lesson, okay, y'all? I'm trying to stick with this, but y'all just making me go there, you know. But anyway. Let's move on because I want that immediate. I'm sorry, it's verse 43 that I really, really want to hit on. What? Okay, Sister Kathy Murphy, what time are we looking at here? Are we good?
7:22.
Oh, okay, thank you. I hate to ask. But okay, thank you, Sister Kathy. Okay, Sister Johnson, are you there?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Would you read that 43 for us, please?
And immediately he received his sight.
Okay, stop right there. I'm sorry, Sister Johnson, stop right there. And immediately, it didn't say, oh, he told him go sit by the roadside and wait for so-and-so, or go dip in the pond or in the pool 4 or 5 times. He didn't say that this time. It was immediate. And sometimes that's how quickly he can answer our prayers. It's immediately. I'll never forget, Kiana was in New York going to school, and she called. This one particular morning, I didn't even know who she was. She couldn't breathe. She was having an asthma attack. And she had been studying for finals, just like 4 o'clock in the morning when she called. I woke up Rudy, and we were like, Kiana, are you okay? And all we could hear was, Mom, I need prayer. We started praying immediately. We both was praying for her. We prayed so, and finally it got quiet. And I was like, Kiana, are you okay? Kiana. Oh, Mom, I'm asleep. I'll talk to y'all in the morning. It was immediate. It was just that quick. I mean, quick enough she went to sleep and we still praying, okay? But that's how God can answer prayer. Immediately. He can do it. And then there's other times when we want him to come on through, like, come on now, Lord, I need you right now. And it's like, no, not yet. But when he does come, he's right on time. But with Bartimaeus, with this right here, he got his sight immediately. Okay, Sister Johnson, I'll try not to interrupt you anymore. You want to finish that verse for me?
And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God.
Okay, they gave praise to God. That's what Jesus would do all along the way. Okay, look at Lazarus. Let's go back to Lazarus real quick. When Jesus got there, he waited 4 days because, you know, the way they look at it, you're really dead after 2 days. For sure, you're really dead. In other words, there's no hope after 2 days. So Jesus waited 4 days before he went. And when he got there, he was grieving in his spirit because of the crowd. Now, remember this too, the disciples didn't want to go back. To Nazareth. They didn't want to go back there because after the last time they were there, they got chased out of Dodge. So they was like, when Jesus said, come on, we got to go see about Lazarus. And they was like, well, hold up, Jesus, wait a minute. Because you know what they did to us the last time you was there? You know, they ran us out of town. and was trying to kill you, and you talking about we going back because of Lazarus? But what Jesus did, and why I'm saying this, is because when Jesus got to the tomb, when he asked them to take him to the tomb, Martha hurried up and got in there. Jesus said what he had to say. She didn't understand what he said, but she understood more than the disciples. When she said, Lord, my brother has been dead 4 days, you know, by now he's thinking that you say and remove the stone, what? But Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Believe that? And she said, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, then watch what I'm going to do. And Jesus said, this is what he said. He said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. He hadn't said nothing. Telepathic. I always say him and God, they was telepathic. Because he hadn't called on him yet. He hadn't said nothing. He had just made his way to the tomb. He had groaned all in his spirit because of the crowd. Because of, oh, ye of little faith. It's like, yeah, he's dead. But again, y'all don't know who I am. But let me call my daddy right now. So before he had even said anything, he thanked God. Father God, I thank you for hearing me. But because of these people, in other words, because all these standing around, Father, you're going to have to show yourself. And he did. When he called forth Lazarus, he thanked his father. He called on his father. It wasn't him. It was about his father. It was about God, giving God the glory and the honor and the praise. And here, he's doing it again. Bartimaeus is doing it, praising God and giving him all the glory. Now, we go through Jesus. Jesus is the one we go through now. Then it was strictly God. And Jesus is showing it's God that this is being done. It's God. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Well, I guess we get ready to wind it down.
Sister Lana, I just see the fact that after Bartimaeus got healed, and he started praising God. It was like a match. And it caught fire. And all the people saw it, and they also praised God. It shows that when we start praising God, and as you said, start testifying, faith starts to rise in other people, and people open their mouths and pray. And that's what happened in the church service today. You know, we couldn't hardly let go of the praising because we started thinking about all the blessings. Even yet this week, the miracles God has done, is doing. So along with testifying, we got to let people hear us praise. Our family members, our children, our husbands, our wives, you know, they got to hear us say, oh, God did it. Praise his holy name.
Oh, yes, Sister Barbara. Okay, yes, that's very true. Again, to me, that's why it's so important to hear a praise testimony or to hear a praise report so we can get happy and rejoice with you. It ain't the fact we don't never need to get jealous about nobody because they got all this or got all that. Rejoice with them. Be happy for them. That's how we as Christians supposed to do. And especially you got a praise report, let me join in and praise God with you. Because if you say he did it, I know he can too. So yeah, you praising, I'm going to jump right in and praise with you. It should be like fire. That Holy Spirit should just jump from one to another. If you know the Lord and you really know what it's all about, yeah, you got to feel it. Something ain't right there. You ain't feeling it. If you can't feel what we got, okay, something ain't right here. Because that Holy Spirit is just like fire. Just like Jeremiah said, like fire, shut up in my bones. Okay, let me come on back. Y'all, this is really a good lesson. It's a powerful lesson. Okay. Any other questions or comments before we get ready to close out? Is it almost that time, Sister Kathy? Oh, yeah.
7:29.
Oh, man. Are you sure?
Yes, ma'am. Ooh. I know it's good. God's word is good. Yeah. God's word is great.
Any questions or comments then for the next minute before we have to go?
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
It is very great. And like it always is, we go to the last minute and end with prayer. And I suppose, Solana, I don't know what out of the prayer, after your prayer, who's going to pray the one prayer for our teacher? And I just want to ask you that, mention that. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Anybody volunteering to pray for our teacher? Somebody?
I think Sister Rochelle Cross, but she may not be in attendance. I'm not sure. So is anyone else want to volunteer? Okay.
I'm always happy to pray, but I don't want to take it from another person.
Oh, you're good, Sister Kathy. I don't see nobody else right now. So when I finish, if you would.
I'll volunteer.
Okay. Oh,
praise the Lord. Okay. Then let's get ready to close out our class, and then Brother Jordan will take it from there. Heavenly Father, how we come thanking and loving your holy name. Lord, how we thank you for your word, how we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. How I thank you, Lord, for each and everyone here. Lord, I pray that something has been said that will continuously bless and keep them, Lord. For truly all we did was study your word, and you showed yourself true. How I thank you for that, Heavenly Father. Thank for your Jesus. Word is all we got, and we stand on the promises that you promised. Lord, we stand in, Lord, in these last and evil days, we stand it, and we stand strong with you, Lord. We can't get through this without you. So, Lord, I ask for your protection now. Put that fence of protection all around each and every one. Lord, I pray a blessing on each and every one. Lord, you know the wants and you know the needs, and I pray that you would bless the way that you see fit, Lord. Oh, forever keep us, Lord, in your care. The only way we can be kept is through you and by you. So now I commit these blessings right now in the name of Jesus until we meet again.
Amen.
Amen. Excellent class. Yes. Excellent.
Very much.
Lord, I come to you today in thanking you for dying on the cross and redeeming our sins. I want to thank you for lighting up the road for salvation that we may find Christ. I want to thank you for the Venerable Gene Sanders that who's always given us the word so we may find the truth and the light. I want to ask you and petition you to be there in her place of need. I want to petition you to extend her time. You did it for Hezekiah. You gave him 15 years. I petition you to give Bevel more time.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for putting Bella in my life that I was able to come in and be better than I go out better than I came in.
Thank you, Lord.
She showed me the light. She showed me the word.
Yeah.
And I've seen Christ through her.
Christ. Thank you.
I see Christ.
Thank you.
I'm just amazed by the humility and the humbleness of her.
Yes.
So I know she's standing in faith.
Yes.
I know she's
thank you, Lord. There.
But I do ask you, God, I know you're an all knowing, all powerful, and all mercy, God. I know you're there. I know you know. And I just ask you to be there, and I ask you to bless her. I ask you these things in the powerful
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I pray and thank you.
Amen.
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 Y'all bless.